the Emperor Rosenzweig pops in, so it reminds me, I told Rosenzweig this now, it reminds me that it happened in a stark way this past summer when we had the summer polo. So all of a sudden I'm davening in the morning and I turned around and there's a Rosenzweig. So I asked him to say a chabura in the summer kolo, and I told him it reminds me of the story that they say that when during World War I, Reb Baruch already had a yeshiva, and when he had a yeshiva, the yeshiva had to run away and was in Minsk, and the boys who had been learning by Reb Baruch for a few years, so they were there. They had heard about Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim was a legend. Reb Chaim happened also during World War I to have run away to Minsk, and he walked into the Beis Medrash. And you see how Reb Baruch Ber describes the shiurim of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim said, "Go nachosid da 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 da," and they turn around and there's Reb Chaim Boharag Baraglov. There's Reb Chaim himself, and that's something that's very, very exciting. So it's an exciting thing to see one's Rebbeim. Mirza Hashem, tonight, what we're going to discuss are two topics based on this week's parasha. Do you mind closing the doors? Okay. In this week's parasha, we have two topics that are directly related. One, we're going to discuss the prohibition of Make Oviv V'Imo. Then this week's parasha, we learn that the halacha is Mos Yumas, that the person is put to death. Number two, we're going to discuss the halachos that emanate from that in regards to injuring somebody else. The halachos of chavala. So on the pasuk of Make Oviv V'Imo Mos Yumas, the poskim spend a lot of time trying to understand the scope of the shaila. And the scope of the shaila revolves around the following question. Can a child, a son or a daughter, be a doctor for their parents and bechovel their parents l'toelas? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Pei Dalet on the days seems to give conflicting messages about this. The Gemara in Pei Dalet on the days in Sanhedrin says that Niboiluhun Maushiak is dam la'aviv. Gemara says Ben Maushiak is dam la'aviv. What's halacha? Can a son do bloodletting for his father? Rav Masna Omer v'haftarecha kamocha. Rav Masna says that based on the pasuk v'haftarecha kamocha will be permissible. Rav Dimi barchidina Omer maka adnu maka behema. Ma maka behema l'refuah patur. The end of Parshas Emor, we have the prohibition of injuring an animal. So too, af maka adnu l'refuah patur. So too, injuring a human being is also going to be patur. In other words, it's not part of the prohibition of maka aviv v'ima. However, the Gemara, after it quotes these two psukim, that's v'haftarecha kamocha, and therefore is no iser makah v'vimo. And after the Gemara says that just like makah behema, there is no iser, the Gemara then continues and says that Rav was machmir about this. Rav lo shavik lebrei l'mishkel le'siluye. Mar bar d'ravina lo shavik lebrei l'miftech le'kivse. The Gemara says that these Amoraim did not allow their sons to even take out a splinter, because of the chashash that they would create a wound. So, in Shulchan Aruch, there are two ways of understanding the relationship between these two lines in Gemara. Rav Dimi and Rav Masna seemed to say there was mutter, and Rav and Mar Bredi Ravina, who seemed to be Machmir, they themselves didn't rely on this on these heterim. And in Reish Mem Aleph, Siv Gimel, we have two fundamental approaches in the Shulchan Aruch. The approach of the Mechaber is to say, like the Shita of the Rosh, is to say that the Gemara Meikur Dedina is Machmir. That the Gemara says that there's a Machlokis over here. And ultimately the halacha is that one has to be Machmir, and therefore a child would not be allowed to serve Reish Mem Aleph Gimel. A child would not be allowed to serve as a doctor for their parents. However, the Ramah learns the way the Rambam understood the Gemara. And the Ramah says that no, the Gemara means to say the following. The Gemara means to say that if you know that it's going to be refuah, it's going to be mutter. However, how do you know if it's going to be a successful chavala? And if it's not a successful chavala, God forbid, so then in such a case, it's makeo v'vimo. So in such a case, if you have someone else who could be a doctor on their behalf just as well, so then have someone else to get out of the suffix. So Mar Brei Ravino said to his son, why put yourself in a matzav of suffix? Get someone else. But of course, if there's no one else, then it's going to be mutter, because we passing like Rav Masna. So the shaila is the halacha, when it quotes Mar Brei Ravino, quotes the Basra, is he going back and disagreeing, or is he accepting his shita la halacha? So what emerges, Rabbi Osai, at first glance, and this seems to be the simplest approach, if you just read Shulchan Aruch, is that it is quite complex for a child to be a doctor for their parents. Number one, according to the Shulchan Aruch, straight up, the Gemara Paskin says it's prohibited. And according to Ramo as a heter, that's only if there's not another doctor nearby who's available to do it. Of course, if God forbid it was a matzah of pikuach nefesh, of course the parent could do it. However, we're not talking about a case of where it's a matzah of pikuach nefesh. If it's not a matzah of pikuach nefesh, then it would be better to have the child, even to do a refuah, to have someone else do it, if that person is available. According to Ramah, the parent lives in Florida, the child lives in Florida, and the next doctor that could do it is up in New York, so then in such a case, that would probably not be considered an instance where another rofe is available. But if another rofe is available, so then in such a case, the child l'chatchila should not do it. However, the Minchas Chinuch, and this is quoted by Rav Herzog in Chelek Beis, in the Gesher HaChaim, Rav Tokachinsky's seminal work on the halachos of Avelus and Refuah, so Rav Tokachinsky quotes three shuvas that he received on the question of a child treating his parent, and Rav Herzog evokes a Minchas Chinuch and Simen Memches on this week's parasha as well, on Umaka Ova V'Ima, and Mitzvah Memches, the Minchas Chinuch suggests the following reading of the Gemara, and this will Minchas Chinuch will take us into the more exciting shaila in regards to Chavala. This is a standard discussion. Mirtz Hashem, from this Minchas Chinuch, will go into the more of the razzle-dazzle shaila, and that is, could someone be a boxer? Are you allowed to go for plastic surgery? We'll see in a moment, this is a corollary to the Isser of Makkah Aviv, and of course, as well, appears in this week's parasha in terms of halachos of Chavala. So Minchas Chinuch and Mitzvah Memches says the following. Minchas Chinuch says, when do we say that it's asur? That's only if the parent is not mochel. But if the parent is mochel, so then in such a case, there is no prohibition of make aviv v'ima. Says the Minchas Chinuch, I'll prove it to you. And listen to Minchas Chinuch's proof. This proof of the Minchas Chinuch is a fascinating raya. He says, it's not complex. Tonight's shiur will not be as complex as last week's. The Minchas Chinuch says, I could prove it to you from a Mishnah in Perek HaChovil on Daf Sadi Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, HaOmer, an individual says, Sima is saying, you blind my eye, Kiteya es yadi, cut off my hand, Shiber es ragli, Chayif. Then the individual, the Chovil, has to pay. Almanas liftar, on the condition that you'll be potter, so then in such a case, chayav, he's also chayav. Kras kususi shiber es kadi amnas liftar potter. The halacha is if a person says that you should break my kalim on the condition that you're going to be potter, the halacha is that you're potter. Says the Minchas Chinuch, the only reason why Almanas Liftar is going to be potter is because you don't believe the fellow when he says that he wants to really make the Mazik exempt. It's not serious. The Gemara fears us. The Gemara develops that he's not serious in such a case. But if it's clear that he is serious, Kras Ksusi, so then in such case the halacha is that he's potter. Which means that the individual has the ability to be mochel on the chiyuv of tashlumin. Says the Minchas Chinuch, we see from here, from this Mishnah, that the halacha is that you have the ability to be mochel. So, if a person says, if the father says, I'm mochel, so then the halacha is that the mechila is a valid mechila. So from our Mishnah in Bava Kamma, we see that mechila serves as a valid mechila. This is the Minchas Chinuch Saraya in Mitzvah Memches. So he says, from here we could say that halacha is mechila is a valid mechila. However, there's a flaw in the Minchas Chinuch's argument. What's the flaw in the Minchas Chinuch's argument? Yes, yes, oh, very good. So the Minchas Chinuch, even though you should know that Rav Herzog uses this yisod, and he says that if you have, and nowadays, of course, in modern medicine, you always need explicit consent for everything. You can't lift the doctor can't even touch your pinky without consent. So if there's consent and then there's mechila, so Rav Tokachinsky quotes Rav Herzog as saying that there's a lot of room to be made though. However, this Minchas Chinuch is up to great debate. And as I introduce the debate of the Minchas Chinuch, let me be matziah, the two shailas that I made reference to before. Let's leave now the sugya makah of Avima. What's the halacha? In the 20s and in the teens, it was very, very common. Some of the best boxers, believe it or not, it's hard to imagine. Things have changed a lot in the last 100 years. But in the 1910s and 1920s, we were the ghetto people. Not only in Europe, but we were also the ghetto people in New York. And the way we fought in the ghetto was not that much different, not a slightly different style maybe, different types of curses. But essentially, we also fought our way through the ghetto. Us Jews. We fought our way through the ghetto, and many of the top boxers at the time were Jews. Let's assume for a moment that this boxer was someone who was interested in halacha. Is a boxer allowed to get into a ring? Al Tanai, he makes the following condition. He says, I know that it's prohibited to you, the other Jew, to hit me, but I'm mochel you, and you're mochel me, because we're going to get $5 million for the match. Is such a thing mutter? And of course, much more relevant to us today, we're not doing very much boxing, but what is common is high school sports, and some high school sports are quite violent. Is it permissible for Talmidim to play a sport which is, by definition, violent and has a likelihood of serious injury to take place if the injury falls into the category of Lo Yosef Lahakos in Parshas Devarim? And finally, the third Shaila being cosmetic surgery. Is the halacha that you are allowed to go to a doctor and have him make a chabura on you, and you say that I'm being mochel? Even if at the end you might come out better, but there's a maisa chabura, the only heter to make a chabura is for refuah mamish. But in the case of where it's a safek refuah, or it's not even refuah at all, safek refuah is in the case above in Kibud Av Va'Em, is it permissible? So what emerges, Rabotai, from the Minchas Chinuch? The answer to all of these three shailas are one and the same. According to the Minchas Chinuch, mutter, mutter, mutter. Why? Because a fellow could be mochel. A fellow has the ability to be mochel. And if you use this Mishnah in Bava Kamma that says that you could be mochel, the nechbal could be mochel to the chovel, so then that would what would emerge would be that it would be mutter as well. However, in a seminal essay, which is not that well known, but is a very fascinating essay, by Rav Zevin. Rav Zevin, of course, is the Mechaber Sfarim Moadim Bahalacha, Sefer La'or Halacha, the one who introduced the Encyclopedia Talmudis. Rav Zevin suggests that this logic of the Minchas Chinuch is highly debatable. And the reason he says it's debatable is based on an important Maramakom, and there he also deals with an interesting literary phenomenon. The literary phenomenon is the following. The essay is called Mishpat Shaila. If you remember the story of The Merchant of Venice, so there Shakespeare, who probably never even saw a Jew, Shakespeare describes...
What was the name of the
The article of the sefer is called Le'or HaAlacha, and the article is called Mishpat Shailak.
Shailak. I thought
yeah. So he discusses what's the status of Shailak in Halacha. What's going on? Of course, my job here is to make sure you do a good chazar on your literature. So just to remind ourselves, in The Merchant of Venice, Antonius is the hero and Shylock is the villain. Shylock is a Jew who extorts exorbitant amount of interest from his Gentile customers, people who borrow money from him. And Antonius is at a point where he has absolutely no money, and Shylock says to him, if you don't pay me back, I'll lend you money, but the next time you don't pay me back, then I'll take a pound of flesh. Famous pound of flesh. So this is, of course, a tremendous diatribe against us Jews, this classic. And Rav Zevin, for some reason, probably just to spark our interest, to get us to read the article. So Rav Zevin says, let's talk about this case of Shylock. But after Rav Zevin gets through with it, it's not so important what he says about Shylock, but it's more important of what emerges in terms of the Shylock, the above three Shylock that we said. And Rav Zevin says, the whole story of Shylock doesn't make any sense. Alpi Halacha. Forget about it, doesn't make sense. Alpi Halacha. Shakespeare probably never saw a Jew in his life. Not only did Shakespeare not know Halacha, Shakespeare probably was relying on a stereotype, because at that time, Jews weren't allowed in England. But anyhow, he says, according to Halacha, it's not permissible. You're not allowed to say, okay, I'm mocha on my guf, whether a Jew or a Gentile, I'm mocha on my guf, I'm making a condition with you that you'll take a little bit of flesh, a pound of flesh, for tashlumin. Such a thing doesn't exist. But why not? The Minchas Sinuch has a raya, so he throws away the raya, as Yitzchak said. He says the raya is not a good raya. And he continues. And he says like this. And he says the whole notion that a person has the ability to be mavatel on his guf, to be mochel on his guf, is entirely contrary to halacha. And he quotes a Shulchan Aruch HaRav on this subject. And the Lashon of Shulchan Aruch HaRav is, Ein Adam Baal Al Gufoy Klal. A person is not a Baalim on his guf. A person doesn't have the right to decide to do what he wants with his guf. Or to put it in stark machshava terms, our bodies are on lease from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're leasing them from Kudsh Brich Hu. And since our bodies are on lease from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's bound by the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, I have to jump in and point out right here that this nekuda, this exact point, is a source of great tension between the Olam HaTorah and the secular world. In the secular world, one of the most dominant themes that exist is the idea of a person's choice and to be able to do with their body what they want. To choose to do what they want with their body. And therefore, someone who takes drugs, as long as he's not hurting anybody else, legally, it's very, very hard to prosecute such a person. And of course, the most classic issue today is the issue of abortion. What's the common refrain of abortion, which might be held up in many ways in the Bill of Rights and in the Declaration of Independence, is the idea that a person has the right to choose what they want to do with their body, that they have the right to choose their own future, and they're in control. Ultimately, we're not in control. Ultimately, our bodies are on lease from Kutcher Brichu. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us 120 years, but everything is a chelek elokam imal, and we have to be mekadesh it. Comes along Rav Zevin, and Rav Zevin says, therefore, all these things, the chura should be asur. A person can't be mochel on his own body. In fact, Kadosh Baruch Hu says you can't do it with your body, so you can't be mochel on. Yes, ma'am.
Even if a person can be mochel on his own body, the lav that the other person has of hitting him, meaning that's a different lav than chol v'ak.
Oh, so we're going to get to that, but presumably it's not. In other words, just like there's an issur of lo yosef lahakos for you not to hit me, there's also an issur of Yosef Lahakos for you not to hit yourself.
Right, but what?
So therefore, if we say that halacha is I could be mochel on my body, so presumably I could be mochel on my body, so you could hit me. Presumably I could be mochel on my own body to hit myself.
Mm-hmm.
Now you'll ask me. There's a beferish of Gemara that seems to be against it. That seems to say that it's aser. So well, let's go with one thing at a time. But you're making a fair ha'ara. I don't know if we're going to address the scope of your ha'ara in its entirety. Yeah, there's a question.
Does this include the Isra of the Nishmark and the Natrotatum? Like people that smoke or people that...
Yes, but not even B'chinas Nishmarktem Mod and Nafshot Seichem. In other words, maybe the chiyuv is that a person is supposed to watch their nefesh, but if they want to be mochel on a certain part of their body that doesn't affect the nefesh, maybe that would be okay. Kamash Malam, what we're saying is absolutely not, that he's not allowed to. You should know that aside from the Minchas Chinuch, the Turei Evin in Megillah, on Chav Ches Amud Beis, also says very similar to the Minchas Chinuch. However, there is this Shulchan Aruch HaRav that strongly disagrees. So what we then see, we would throw the pendulum in the opposite direction. All of the three shilas then will become aser. If a person's a boxer, he can't be mochel. If a person is is playing violent high school sports, he can't be mochel. And at first glance, that would apply even to plastic surgery as well. Because at the end of the day, you can't be mochel and say that I want you to do surgery on me. Yes?
Are we assuming that the regular Isra of Chavala is pretty much the same Gedarim as Chavala Ba'adav Ubi'imo?
Oh, so Ramesha Feinstein in a tshuva, which we're about to get to, differentiates between the two, and I think one could definitely differentiate between the two, especially once we get through what we're about to bring out, most definitely. However, the Minchas Chinuch, when it comes to the heter of being mochel, puts the two together. So we've been, up until now, we've been brainwashed by the Minchas Chinuch's approach on this week's parasha. That's the mahalach that we're taking up until now. However, a Moshe Netshuva in Yoredei, a Chelek Beis, Simin Samaches, Ramesha Feinstein says that he believes that plastic surgery would be permissible. And the basis for the heter is a diuk in the Lashon HaRambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Chovel U'Mazik, in Perek Hey Halacha Aleph, the Rambam writes, "Asa la'adam lachbol bein ba'atzmo bein b'chaveru." It's prohibited to injure yourself and your chaver. V'lo achovel b'vad el kol amaka adam kosher miYisrael bein katan bein gadol bein ish bein isha derech nitzayon hareze over below saseh. So the Rambam, as Ben pointed out, Paskins number one, a person is not allowed to hurt himself, which would lechura take out the possibility of mechila altogether. We'll get to that in a moment. And then the Rambam says, it's aser ben katan ben gadol ben ish ben isha derech nitzayon, and he's over allows us say of lo Yosef lahakoso. Says Rav Moshe, the Rambam adds two words that don't seem to be found in the Gemara. The Rambam says that's prohibited derech mitzayim in combative form. Says Rav Moshe, based on this, and this is really Rav Moshe's fundamental raya, based on this we see that the Isra of Chavala is dafke if it's in combat. However, if it's not derech mitzayim or derech bizayim, so then in such a case, it will be permissible. And therefore, cosmetic surgery, Rav Moshe says, is allowed. Says Rav Moshe, where did I get this from? Well, not where did I, but where did the Rambam get this from? So if you take a look on the Gemara in Sadi Beis and Beis, Rav Moshe says we have a maimar in the Gemara that seems to support this idea. The Gemara in Sadi Beis and Beis describes Rav Chisda walking with his rabbinic garb. And there, the Gemara says, Rav Chisda was walking along a road, and along the road that he was walking, there was some thorns, and Rav Chisda lifted up his begadim, in order that his rabbinic garb not be torn, and he allowed the thorns to cut his legs. Says Ramesha, what do we see? He was chovel ba'atzmo, and yet the Gemara seems to say that it's permissible. Why did he do it? Why did he want his legs cut? Because it wasn't going to be a bad gash, and ultimately, they didn't get the new suit every Yom Tov. If it was torn, then that would mean quite a long time before Rav Chisda would have a new garment. So Rav Chisda would prefer to have his legs be cut than to have a torn suit. So what do we see from here? How could he be chovel in himself? Isn't there a halacha of being chovel ba'atzmo? Says Rav Moshe, it must be that's where the Rambam got it from. The Rambam was medayed that it's only if it's derech bizayon or derech mitzayon that it's going to be what? That it's going to be asur. But if it's being done for any type of toeles, then it's going to be permissible. Now it's interesting to note. It's interesting to note that the Ramah in the Shita Mikubetzis on that taf on Sadi Beis on the base says that we see from that Gemara that Ben is wrong. Ben was really right. But according to the Ramah, you're wrong. Says the Ramah, even though you remember the Gemara that says, Asa la Adam Nachbol Ba'atzmai, even though there is a Gemara that says you're not allowed to hurt yourself, but the Gemara then again has a Basroi, I mean again, because it's very similar to that pattern of Sugya and Sanhedrin, where the Gemara had one sheet that was Mako, and then has a sheet of Basroi that's Machmir. So in this case, we have a sheet upstairs that's Machmir, Asa la Adam Nachbol Ba'atzmai, and then the Gemara quotes from Chizda was Chovel in himself. So says the Ramah, the Gemara was Chozer. And the Gemara quotes the story of Chizda to be Koveh la Halacha, that's permissible for a person to be Chovel Ba'atzmo. So it's interesting, the Ramah disagrees clearly with that Shulchan Aruch Harav. However, Ramesha says, there's no stira in the Sugyas. The Rambam learned the following. The Rambam said that on the one hand, it's Asur to be Chovel Ba'atzmo. Yet on the other hand, the halacha is that you're allowed to lift up your garment. Why? Because even though there's an issur to be chovel ba'atzmo, if it's not derech mitzayon and derech bizayon, so then in such a case, it would be permissible. Oh, so what emerges then, according to Ramesha, is the following. When it comes to boxing, what will we say? Asur. When it comes to violent sports, where it's likely that people will get hurt, yesh ladun, if it's going to be permissible. When it comes to cosmetic surgery, so then in such a case it doesn't fall into the category of derech bizayon, derech mitzayon, and then the halacha would say that it is permissible. However, as was suggested before, it could be that whenever we're talking about the chiyuv of a makkah of the v'imo, Hakiv Av Vimo, the Rambam doesn't bring down this idea of Derech Mitzayim and Bitzayim. So that's where the suggestion we had mentioned before, the Makkah Av Vimo might fall into a different category. We were now talking about the more razzle-dazzle Shaila, and that is the Shaila of being Chovel Ba'atzmo and Chovel Begufo. Yeah, Eli.
It seems like what the Rambam is saying, it's not necessarily, it sounds like it's only when we say combat or Mitzayim.
Correct. Correct.
So is that just when there's action, when someone else is doing it to you, or is it, it sounds like when you're playing sports, it's a constructive purpose for you to play sports, that you might get injured doing so, but no one's trying to hurt you.
Ah,
boxing,
okay.
Boxing, maybe someone's trying to hurt
you. Okay, okay. You're suggesting that my reaction to football is like American football is like someone who's never seen football before. But once you understand what football is and the amkus of football, it's a very, very deep sport. So then that's all the violence is just a heksher for the amkus. Okay, I hear. Yesh lachkor, yesh ladin. Yesh ladin.
Say it for boxing too.
You can say it for boxing also. Question is where you draw the line.
Right.
Question
they're
here
not
is what
doing,
what's
there.
Right, so that's
the game.
What?
In boxing.
You really think so? But the whole surah. No, see, right. In other words, he's looking at Joe Montana throwing the ball and Jerry Rice incidentally being hit. I'm giving away my age over here. Joe Montana throwing the ball and Jerry Rice incidentally getting hit. and you're looking at, and someone else is looking at it from the perspective of Lawrence Taylor rushing the quarterback. So I don't know. You need a paisik who knows halacha, knows football, and then that. But however, I would find it difficult to say that boxing doesn't fall in that category, because the whole surah is a surah of derech nitzayim.
Am I allowed to hit someone who's wearing pads?
Yeah, there might be room in such a case, but the problem is that in many of these sports, even if they're wearing pads, they end up with chaval. So it's hard to know why there would be. Yesh ladum is that. Yeah.
The Gemara that quotes Rav Chisda, there, I mean, I don't know if we count Kavana so much as we would by Hilchos Shabbos, but like, why is it not like a psik ratio? He's walking, he wants to get from A to B.
Right.
The only way to do it is there. Okay, so he lifts his pants, but he's not actively hurting himself.
He's actively hurting himself, and you're right. He's
but it's not the hurt that he wants.
Right, okay, but so the chura, we say psik ratio kol tarkul. You're right. Maybe there's room to say that it's an enyam askan with a psik ratio. But we're assuming it's psik ratio kol tarkul. Psik ratio la nichale is a fun sugi in kol tarkul. The ranim psachim. But just on straight up psik ratio is straight up asr. Straight up asr. Even if you want to argue, I hear that argument, but even if you want to argue that psik ratio is. Yeah. Not in terms of the chiyuv misa, in terms of halachos kavod, it might apply, but not in terms of chiyuv misa. It's interesting to note, for those of you who remember, in the beginning of the Zman, we had started out with a fascinating Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva. That all the way in the beginning of the Zman, we discussed that the Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva and Perek Beis goes out of his way to say that if you're chovel on your friend, or you're mekalel your friend, you have to ask him for mechila. Perek Aleph, the Rambam says that it's an avera to be mazik his mamo, your friend's mamo, and it's an avera to do any type of damage to him. But when it comes to asking mechila, the Rambam says you need to ask mechila dafka if you're chovel him or you're mekalel him. So it could very well be that the idea is that when you're chovel a person, you're really attacking his essence, to the point that his essence that's not even his own. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we spoke about Chavola and being Mekalel as being a tax on the personal autonomy. What's a person's personal autonomy? Ultimately, the essence of his personal autonomy is the Chelek Elokam Mimal inside of him. The Baal Amor writes that the essence of a person is his Kavod. Chas v'chalila to be Mevaza, not another person. The Gemara Bava Metzia says that if you Mevayish someone Barabim, so then it's considered as if you killed him. So maybe, according to the Baal Amor, the Pshat is the following. This is the Baal Amor's Hakdama to Shas. It's a beautiful Hakdama, the first 7-8 lines. So Baal Amor says, Kadosh Baruch Hu is referred to Kavod, and the reason why we always emphasize the Kavod of a person, you mentioned Kavod Abrios, the reason why we emphasize the Kavod of the individual is because the Kavod of a person is really that Chelek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So when a person attacks the personal autonomy, if he's chovel the individual, if he's mekalel the individual, so then in such a case, that's also an attack on the kavod of the individual, and therefore it needs a bakasha of mechila. In contrast to niske mamon, we point out, why does the Rambam say that niske mamon is a verb but not need for mechila? Because niske mamon is not an attack on him. So here this works out very well in the Lashon Rambam over here. Derech bizayon nor nitzayon. Either it's an attack on him in terms of his guf, which is also unleashed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or it's attack on him, b'derech b'zayon, and that's the kavod of the person, as the Baal Amor writes in the beginning of, in his Hakdama Tishas. Ad kan divrei ha'alacha. Now, Be'ezer Hashem, I'd like to bring out another concept in this week's parasha in Agoda, that Be'ezer Hashem will relate to the Yisrael that we're saying, and that might also be a lesson to us in terms of the way we approach Shalom Bayis and general interactions between Adam and Chavero. In the beginning of this week's parasha, we have the Eved. The Eved wants to stay. Perek of Aleph Pasuk Vav. V'yigisha Adonav Elo Elohim. You pierce his ear. Says Rashi. V'rotza adonov v'sazno. Why is it that we pierce his ear? Says Rashi the following. So I'm picking up in the middle of Rashi. Why do we pierce his ear? Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, ozen zos sheshama al harsina lo signa v'holos v'gonav tirtzeya. The ear that heard at Har Sinai, don't steal, go and pierce it. V'mocher atzmo, and if he sold himself, ozen sheshama al harsina ki li b'nei so avodin v'holos v'kana adon latzmo tirtzeya. The ear that heard that your servants only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be pierced. Reb Shimon HaYidorish Mikvazeh Kimin Chomer. Reb Shimon added something else. Manishtanu Delas U'Mezuzah Mikol Kerem Shel Bayis. Why dafka the Delas? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Delas U'Mezuzah Shahayu Eidu B'Mitzrayim Kishap Asach Del Mashkof Ashtei HaMezuzos V'Amarti Kali B'nei So Avodim Avodayim V'lo Avodim 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 Whether it's a mocher atzmo or he's a ganav, at the end of the day, why did we choose a delas? The reason why we chose a delas is because the delas was the one that experienced the Mitzrayim, the nisim of Mitzrayim, and therefore we put him right there and say he's supposed to be an eved only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not an eved la'avodim. Which means then that there are two reasons when it comes to a ganav of why we pierce his ear and where we pierce his ear. The reason we pierce his ear is because he heard lo tignov, and he didn't listen. And then we put him by the door because he said, because this fellow didn't remember the rule, Kili Avodim V'lo Avodim Shel Avodim. So that will explain by the Mocher Atzmo. Comes along Rav Schwab, and Rav Schwab asks two basic questions on this Rashi. Give a little bit of drush. And then we'll see that the yisod of this drush really is the yisod of the halacha that we saw before as well. Says Rav Schwab, lo signov, in last week's parsha, aseres hadibros. We have to remember what Rashi said last week. What did Rashi say last week on lo signov? What does it mean, don't steal? So the world says over, beautiful. The world says over, don't steal money. That's how the Goyim said over, but that's not how Chazal understands. Lo signov means not to kidnap. This guy didn't kidnap. This guy stole a watch. So why is it referred to as the lotignov of the Aseres HaDibros? That's question number one where Schwab asks. Number two, Schwab asks like this. If we're talking about a ganov, why after 6 years? Right away. He was gonev. However you're going to explain how you reconcile lotignov, but let's do it right away. Why wait for it? Says Rav Schwab, "I'll plead drush a beautiful yisod. Chidush gadol v'Rashi, chidush gadol. But nevertheless, this chidush gadol is a fascinating idea. This fascinating idea really cuts to the kernel of the yisod that we've been developing as well in terms of chovo ba'atzma." Says Rav Schwab, "You know who the ganav stole from? The ganav stole himself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ganav stole himself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He kidnapped himself from Kodesh Baruch Hu. Dainu. This fellow is supposed to be an Evet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, no, I'm not capable of having Bechira. I'd rather just follow the dictates of my master. And that's only after 6 years. It's only after 6 years. So the ganiv, he's going to be chayiv after 6 years, ala deles, because the deles reminds us, ki li avodim, lo avodim, shel avodim, that ultimately, we ourselves are avodim al kodesh baruch, but not avodim to anybody else. So ultimately, this individual is going to be chayiv dafke after 6 years, because until 6 years, it's only this man. Person is allowed to rent himself out as a schir yom lizman. The Gemara in Kedushin seems to equate a schir yom, the halachos of socher, to the halachos of eved for 6 years. We learn out halachos hanaka, one from the other. The Gemara in Kedushin above Metzia. So the an eved lizman is not by definition a stira to the avodim laavodim shalavodim. It's dafka when it's laolam. So after the 6 years. So lo tignov, the ozen that heard lo tignov, that means that you're not supposed to kidnap another person. What does it mean to kidnap another person? To kidnap another person, what's so terrible about it? If you think about it, Kadosh Baruch Hu should protect Gilad Shalit and should bring him home quickly. What's the awful component of it? Is the fact that he loses his entire personal autonomy. He loses his entire identity. That's the Yisr of Lotignov. But we ourselves could be gonev ourselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person gives up his own koach ha-bechira, when a person relinquishes that koach, so then ultimately that individual is stealing himself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's being mishabed himself to something else. So Rabbosai Be'ezer Hashem, I'd like to discuss in the next 15 minutes three musarim that emerge from this. Aleph, first of all, this is the yesod that's extremely relevant to younger people who are at stages in life where they go michayil l'chayil, from stage to stage. And sometimes, when we go michayil l'chayil, what happens is, we go and we follow the way our life dictates have pushed us in a particular direction. So, what we're supposed to do is, we're supposed to go to YU, and then we were zochet to sit and learn in kolel. And then, of course, the next step is, of course, I'm going to do X. Of course, I'm going to do then, afterwards, Y and Z. So that, Rabosai, is nothing less than being gonev yourself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For a person to go through the motions in life and go through their steps in life without internalizing at every step of the way our koach habechira is a person to be gonev himself, as Rav Schwab is describing. That's the yisod that we saw in regards to being chovel atzmo. The yisod that we saw in regards to a person's chovel atzmo is that a person realizes that he is not simply only his guf, but he is a chelek elokam mimal. That chelek elokam mimal dictates that every step of the way, he has a shibud HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that shibud is the koach habechira. The shibud is the koach habechira. The ability to choose and to recreate hamechadish b'tuva v'chol yom tamid. The chelek elokam mimal means that a person can choose and recreate himself constantly. And once a person internalizes this idea that he's not being funneled by his chomrius of olam hazeh, not being funneled by the dictates of society, because everybody else is going in that direction, all the other gufim are going in that direction, so I have to follow the gufim, my guf also follows in that direction. No! The guf itself is unleashed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a chelek elokam mimal. Lesson number two is a lesson that I find uncomfortable to talk about because I find it hard to believe that I have to give mussar to Avrechim about this. But on the other hand, Rabbi Abraham Twersky says that this is one of the machlos of the present generation, and therefore, because of that, I feel that it's necessary to speak it out by Rabbim. This is I don't want to harp on it because I don't think it's so prevalent. But meidach gisa, I believe very, very strongly. One of my mentors in chinuch is Rabbi Bina, and Rabbi Bina always emphasizes that there's absolutely no Rabbi Bina and Rav Twersky both emphasize that the idea that there's no point in trying to ignore an issue and make believe it as if it doesn't exist, because ultimately, God forbid, it comes back 10 times worse. This yisod, that a person can't kidnap someone else and remove his personal autonomy, that chelek elokam imal, that koach habechira, is yisod gadol, of course, in marriage as well. And that is that in our marriages, we always have to ask ourselves a cheshbon if we are being controlling of our spouse. Rabbi Twersky says the reason he thinks, he, in his experience, has found that this is a prevalent problem in Jewish communities. And he describes the following phenomenon. He says, once upon a time when he was a child, so he had a toy car. And that toy car was the only toy car he had. And he would play with it. So nowadays he walks into a room, he sees a three-year-old controlling with all these amazing gadgets this remote-controlled car. Already a child at a very, very young age is learning to control a tremendous amount. And for whatever reason, psychologically, there is a trigger in people's minds that sometimes feel the need to control. Of course, and we'll discuss this more in detail about what a marriage is supposed to be, but let's talk about first what a marriage is not. A marriage is not about one spouse or even both spouses dominating each other, trying to assert control over each other. Marriage is the opportunity for us to share and grow together. And so therefore, one has to keep in mind that even if we have feelings about things that are important, at the same time we have to always make sure that the woman that we love, we're giving her the space and the opportunity to make decisions on her own. Obviously, there are certain decisions we have to make as a team. But then there are things that she deserves her own space that she should decide, that the husband shouldn't feel the need to constantly weigh in and constantly influence her decision. And we have to make a cheshbon nefesh. There are certain things that let's give her a little bit of space. Let her make the decision. And it really doesn't make much of a difference one way or the other for you. And it'll make all the difference for her self-esteem. And ultimately, her happiness in the marriage if she doesn't feel stifled. That's Musar number two. Lesson number three of this Yisod, that we are a chelek Elokam imam, and that ultimately we have this tremendous opportunity to exercise the koach habechira of the neshama. Is the most important thing that I'd like to leave you off with. Rabbi Tauber, in a very good book called Habayit HaYehudi, Rabbi Israel Tauber, describes the following phenomenon. And Rabosai, if I'm going to scare you, I mean to scare you. Rabbi Tauber describes the following. He describes that there was, I get shudders thinking about this. He describes a well-known Magid Shir, Talmud Chacham, who was very well respected in his community, coming to speak to him, where someone had told him, I think you should speak to this well-known Talmud Chacham and speak to him because I know that there are serious Shalom Bayis issues at home. Serious Shalom Bayis issues. So Rabbi Tauber sat down with him and he said to him, how are things? And the man said to him, great, I have a great job in the yeshiva. I have a lot of talmidim. Baruch Hashem, very successful. I teach chassan classes. But he said, not so happy. So Rabbi Tauber said to him, how's your shalom bayis? So he said, well, you know, everybody fights a little. Everybody disagrees a little. Rabbi Tauber opened up to him the famous Rambam in Hilchos Ishus, where the Rambam in Perek Tezvav describes the chiyuv of how a man is supposed to treat his wife. Rambam describes that the chiyuv of a man in treating his wife is to be mechabed her yoser migufa and to love her kigufa. So he asked him, what does he think the makar for the Rambam is? Is the makar for a Rambam? What's the makar for the Rambam? So he said, he started to ask himself, well, no pasuk is not derabbanan. It's not a deraisa. There's no pasuk that says that you have to honor your wife more than you honor yourself. There's no din derabbanan. He said it's a takanas chachamim. And truth, he's right. The lashon and Rambam over there in Perek Tezvav starts off sivu chachamim, the chachamim were mitzvah. Rabbi Tauber, I can imagine, banged on the table, and he said, "Sheker v'chazav." It's not true. It says it's a pasuk d'oraisa. It's the most important pasuk in the Torah. Why did the Rambam, I want to be most of the Rabbi Tauber, then why did the Rambam say Tzivu Chachamim? Because the Chachamim were mitzavah, that you have to be mechabit her more than you mechabit yourself. That you normally don't have. It's a special Tzivu Chachamim to be mekayim v'ahavta re'acha kamocha. The problem with this individual was he was looking at this halacha simply at Tzivu Chachamim. But the essence for our happiness, and the essence in building proper future doros, is this idea that the nekuda of ahavta re'acha kamocha is how we treat our wives. Two rayas. Number one, the Gemara in Kedushin Mem Aleph Amid Aleph, as you all know, says that a person has to be careful that he should marry a woman that he sees before him, because otherwise he'll be over ahavta re'acha kamocha. Likutim of the Ma'ari says that the essence of to be mekayim v'ahavta re'acha kamocha zeklal gadol b'Torah is through loving one's wife. But how is that possible? Let's take a step back from a wife for a moment. How is it possible for someone to be mekayim, as all the mefarshim discuss, as you know, the Rav Dessler's piece, how is it possible for a person to love someone like they love themselves? All the darshanim and balim musar are bothered by that. Each one of us has our own ego, has our own drives. How is it possible to love a person like we love ourselves? The Yisod, Rabosai, is the following. The Yisod is that if we live in a world where we're focusing on the Gashmi, it's impossible. But if a person internalizes the idea that every single one of us is a chelek elokam ma'al, that we all come from one shoresh, I know Rav Dessler has a different mahalach, but I think this mahalach is even complements Rav Dessler, but you need a little bit of Kabbalah here to understand the omen. If we realize that we come from a chelek elokam imal, so then in such a case, then the ego begins to fall away. Because every single one of us is a shoresh, comes from the shoresh of the neshamas. Yoser mizeh. It's well known that in Sifrei Kabbalah, based on the Gemara in Sota and Afez and Afez, that the Ish and the Isha represent two halves of one neshama. And the reconciliation of that one neshama is the Ish v'Isha. Now, I've seen Rabbosai, Gedolei Torah really, really have that understanding. Some of you have been zochet to see Rav Nevensal. We'll see this. Rav Nevensal stands up even for the youngest of Rabbeim in the yeshiva. What's pshat? He really thinks that he has to stand up for them? No, it's not the pshat. I can't believe it. It's not shaykh. It's not shaykh. It doesn't make any sense. The pshat is, he realizes that the idea of being mechabit someone else, like the Baal HaMor is saying in the beginning of Brachas, the idea to be mechabit someone else is to be mechabit that chelek elokam imal. If you're looking at it from the perspective of the chelek elokam imal, then there's so much to be ma'arich in somebody else. And where's the best place to start? The best place to start is at home. That's what the Kisvei Ari is bringing out. Reb Chaim Vital, before, you know what? Let's just start with the Torah itself before we get to Reb Chaim Vital. Every day a person comes home, he has the opportunity to be mekayim v'ahavta re'acha kamocha in its fullest. And the odds are, and here is where it's a sama chayim or sama moves. The odds are, if he's not going to be mekayim v'ahavta re'acha kamocha to his fullest, then he'll be over on lo yeke korach v'acha adoso, in a disagreement. Lo sisna tzachicha b'lvavecha, many Rishonim say that if a person is angry and doesn't talk to someone else, the silent treatment, he's over the Yisrael Sisna Sechicha B'Lavecha. So the ultimate place of growth in V'Ahavta Re'acha Kamocha is in the bayis. Says Reb Chaim Vital, the Kiros Beiso Shel Odom Me'idis Lo B'Shas Adin. What does it mean when Chazal say that one day the beams of the home are going to be made on a person? They're going to be made Lo Asa Chesed Klal and Lo Asa Chesed Beiso. It's going to testify that every chesed that you did outside your house is absolutely nothing if you didn't do that chesed inside the house? What pshat? You and I, let's put the cards on the table. You and I know that there are some times that we do things for others, or we learn Torah, any type of chesed. There's a shalol lishma that's involved here. Your wife, Baruch Hashem, is trapped. In a positive way. Not in issue number two. She's trapped in a positive way. She's trapped in a marriage, just like you are. And therefore, whether you do that chesed for her, or whether you don't do that chesed for her, whether you buy her the flowers, or you don't buy her the flowers, she's going to remain your wife. It's just a choice of how you want to treat her. So every other chesed that we do outside of the house, there's always this complex social network where when we do for others, then ultimately it comes back to us. And Rabbi Osai, I speak to myself just as much to you in this Musar. But there's one place where the Kiros HaBayis HaMuni Meyid, if whether the chesed that we're doing outside is really, really, truly who we are and the Baal Chesed that we are. And that is whether we do it as well inside. There's a famous saying, they say this in regards to Yichus, but I think it's even more appropriate to Chesed in the home. And that is, a Yichus is a bunch of zeros, but if you put a one in front of it, it changes everything. The fact that someone is the Melitza that they say in the Yeshivas, the fact that you're a son of Rosh Yeshiva means nothing. But if you put a one in front of it, so then all of a sudden everything's changed. Then you have many, many doors that are open for you. If you actually continue that Yichus. Kal v'chomer, this applies in regards to Chesed. All the Chesed that we do outside is a bunch of zeros. If we put that one of that Chesed in the bayis in front of all those zeros, then it becomes a million, then it becomes a billion. But says Reb Chaim Vital, if all the Chesed is there, all the zeros are there, but the simplest, the most basic chesed is not, then everything is a garnish. It's absolutely nothing. So Rabbi Osai, halacha l'maisa. Person's walking down the steps, and he realizes his wife asked him to take out the garbage, and he forgot to take out the garbage. He's in a rush. Does he go back? Or does he not go back? He begins to think, well, she didn't tell me in time to take out the garbage. Well, I was waiting for supper for 15 minutes. Well, the rest of the house isn't clean anyhow. What would happen if you're walking down the steps, Sukkot in the morning, and you forgot your lulav? Would you go back? Davar pashut. All of us, of course, would go back. That's the same thing for the garbage. And sometimes it's kedai for us to be mezaris ourselves that way. Halavai, we should do it all the time because we really want to make our wives happy. But every once in a while, there might be a little bit of frustration there. But just like Sukkah's morning, if we forgot the lulav, there's no suffix, we would go back. In the bechina of after echa kamocha, there's no suffix as well. One final example. Listening. We spoke about in the past, women are from Venus and men are from Mars, that us men have difficulty sometimes focusing on the needs of the emotional needs of a woman, and that's sometimes not because even we're not interested, but we're not clued in to their ways of communication. And we spoke about the fact that on Venus, the way they communicate, the way they deal with problems, they talk about it, until we would think they turn blue in the face, but they just continue to talk about it. And then on Mars, when there's a problem, you pull out your hammer and you fix it. One of the most important things that, and it's a tremendous chesed that we could do, is to be able to sit down and listen to what's on our wives' minds, even in the times that we're not that interested. And Rabbi said, I know I find it very, very, very hard. It's not easy. Very, very hard. I like to read. And it's a tremendous, tremendous avoda to be able to take that that sefer, that book, and close it and entirely listen to what your wife is saying, because the odds are you've spoken about it already. And there's not going to be much that's new. And you think, and you're probably right, I hope my wife doesn't listen to this, you're probably right that you could just as well listen to her by reading the book. She used to listen to the first few ones. But, okay, I'll duck tomorrow night. But you could just as well continue reading the book and look up every few seconds and hear her out again. And then look back in the book. But if something was on your mind, if you were deciding between whether to go back to America or to stay in Eretz Yisrael, and you were speaking to somebody and they were reading a book at the same time, you would feel hurt. They say a tremendous story of Reb Shlomo Freifeld. So Reb Shlomo Freifeld was once speaking with a Talmud, and he was bothered by the following. The Talmud was bothered by a very difficult circumstance. I don't know the details. Shlomo Freifeld listened to him, and he gave him an eitzah. And the Talmud's eyes lit up, and he said, Rebbe, you're such a pikeach. So Reb Shlomo said, I'm not such a pikeach. He said, let me tell you a story. The Sadi Ger Rebbe was once speaking to a chassid, and the chassidim, as you know, they come into the Rebbe and they pour out their woes, and the Rebbe gives advice. So there was a chassid who came into the Rebbe and said, Rebbe, I'm very, very concerned about my business. I sell wheat, and the price of wheat has gone down tremendously. So the Rebbe gave him a bracha, gave him an eitzah, and the Talmud went out. A few weeks later, the Rebbe was traveling and he was in another province. And another chassid came to him and asked him an eitzah. He said to the Rebbe, should I start a bakery or should I not start a bakery? So the Rebbe told him, the price of wheat is going down and you shouldn't start the bakery. Sure enough, a few weeks later, the prices from one province came to the other province. The chassid came back. He said to him, Rebbe, you're a Baal Maifas. So he said, the Rebbe said, no. He said, I just listen. I listen to people. A lot of times, Maifasim are really just about Tzaddikim and Talmidei Chacham listening. So that's what Rav Freifeld said to him. He said to him, I'm not such a Pikeach. I just listen to what you said. In our Dor Rabbeisai, people are very smart, but people don't listen. People don't listen. And so much of the Koach to be able to be Miyayetz and to be a person that cares doesn't need tremendous chachma. It's the ability to listen. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the koach to be able to actualize the chelek elokam mimal, the ruach mimalala, ube'ozen shamas, and that ultimately we should be zoiche to be mitzarev the two neshamos, the ish v'isha, the yud and the hey, and thereby capture the essence of what the isser of being chovel ba'atzmo is. And that is a person denying the essence of the chelek elokam imam. Thank you very much.